I am Mariah King.
And I am Luke Diamond, and you're listening to In the Know.
Breaking down the U's news.
Ooh, that was good. That was slick.
Thank you. Long title, short episode.
Long title, short episode. Our subtitle.
And sexy hosts, the Three Horsemen.
Yeah, man, if only you could see us. Okie dokie. Enough with the shenanigans. Let's get down to our real jobs. They pay us the big bucks for. Not that big, but maybe one day. Mariah, what news do we have on the docket?
Today we are discussing pronouns, gender identities, sexual orientation, essentially everything you wish you'd had an education on when you were younger, but are getting now.
We're specifically going to learn about a policy that's been proposed by the Office of Equity and Diversity. And in order to wrap our heads around this topic...
Hi, I'm Austin.
We spoke with a Daily reporter who helped cover this story.
Yeah, I'm a reporter. I cover higher education, focusing on faculty, staff, and other topics in higher ed.
We got him to explain to us what the policy says.
So the policy is pretty comprehensive. One of the main things that it does is it requires university members to use the names, pronouns, and gender identity of individuals as they specify. The folks who wrote this policy intended for it to codify some of the values of the university, and they really want it to be something that they can point to as a way for like professors or other members of the university to learn about this area and to make sure that they're treating students with respect.
Treating students with respect doesn't sound controversial.
So we asked him, why are people so against this?
Yeah, so there's been some concerns raised about the policy as it relates to free speech. Some professors, some members of the university's Senate, when they look at this policy, they see that it's one, trying to regulate speech, and two, that there can be disciplinary actions attached to that. And they see that as really a potential infringement upon free speech.
So my name is Kieran Blake. I use he or they pronouns, whatever, like a healthy mix. And I'm a gender, women, and sexuality study major at the U of M.
My name is Hal Sansoni. I use he, him, or they, them pronouns, and I am a recent alum of the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, my first time going to the Queer Student Cultural Center, actually. Like, I was just so awkward and so shy, and I just hovered outside the door, like, flipping through pamphlets, like, yep, I am a tourist. I don't belong here. Shh. And, like, one of the facilitators invited me in and, like, walked me through the whole space, and it was so great. Like, I literally just went in the gender-neutral bathroom and cried after that, because I was like, oh my god, this is so nice.
I had never that I knew of even known that or seen a trans person until I came to college. Like, I didn't even know trans people existed till I was 18. I find that I was on my own for the first time, so I could ask these questions because people didn't know me. I knew very few people when I came here, and I was a theater major. So I was like, hey, maybe I should like still play men. And it was actually like through this realization in college, like I couldn't professionally play men for the rest of my life, that I was like, that was an issue for me, was like, maybe this is not about just acting, you know, maybe this is about something else.
We were curious about Kieran and Hal's relationships with their professors, so we asked them.
How do you navigate the topic of pronouns in the classroom?
It depends on which class, honestly. Like, because I'm a gender studies major, in major-specific classes, that's kind of like one of the intro questions, which is really nice. But doing my generals, not a question that gets asked. God, no.
Oh, yeah. It trying to be nice about it.
Oh, don't bother.
Okay. Don't bother. I don't find that their professors are very proactive. Depends on what classes I'm in. Like, of course, like in GWIS, right? If I'm in transgender studies now, my professor's going to ask, right? I was in a Spanish class where they asked, but it was like social justice oriented. I often had to, you know, just be an advocate for myself in the classroom of like, hey, you need to call me this. And then still wouldn't be even if I asked and that sort of thing.
And Kieran told us that many trans students even take it upon themselves to contact professors every semester before classes begin.
There's like this unspoken social rule amongst all the trans students that like you get a sort of blanket email that you write out introducing yourself to your professors that's like, hi, these are my pronouns. Please, please don't. I'm so small and so tired.
Okay, wait, that's super interesting. So So it's a common practice then, what you're saying, for the trans students to message their professors kind of at the beginning of semester, being like, hey, this is like how I identify. Like, can you please kind of abide by that or respect that?
Yeah, it's not like a huge like system instated thing, but like as a preventative measure, if you know that you're not in a space where you can deal with having to have that conversation over and over and over again, like in person, face to face, then yeah, having an email is kind of a preventative measure, I guess. It's, you do what you can to be safe. And a lot of that is staying under the radar and not calling attention to yourself and having to correct professors. So yeah, emails are helpful.
So of all the professors that like you send these emails to, how many would you say are really willing to cooperate and are very supportive of your identity? And how often do you run into a professor who takes issue with that?
I would say like 75% of the time people are okay with it. Like at least they'll send a positive response. And if there's like a problem in person, they're at least a little awkward about it. Like, oh, I screwed up. And then, you know, they do the fun awkward sis thing where they like aggressively overcorrect and like apologize for too long.
Yeah, and it's not so much a, I find it's not a refusal. So, like, I don't get the, like, oh, you're not trans, but it's the, oh, I'm really trying, like, you have to understand, like, I'm trying. This is generational, like, you know, this is, especially because at the time, for most of my college, so for all of my, when I came out, I was using they, them the entire time I was college. It's recent, like, after I graduated, I started using he. And so I was using, especially they, in classrooms that, like, professors just wouldn't, I don't know what it was. I don't know. And I, you know, part of it was I was figuring out still how to be an advocate for myself. And so, like, I would be very apologetic. I'd say, like, hey, don't worry. Like, I know you're learning. Like, take your time. But then I'd be like, hey, no, you need to do this. And, like, it still would be over and over and over again.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I have had less than friendly professors before, but
professors specifically? You don't have to say names, but there have been like professors who actively refuse to use your pronouns or who treat you with a different level of respect than other students.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, my last semester, actually, one of my professors, I did the whole email thing. They were very polite in the email, so I didn't expect a problem in person, but proceeded to do the whole she, her pronouns thing in personal conversations and in front of the class. And like there was one instance where she dropped a she her and I was like, it's he actually. And like after that she just stopped using pronouns for me altogether and just like would use my name or not talk to me at all. And like I actually, she would walk around and like fill out the attendance sheet, and I saw on the attendance sheet she wrote a boy next to me, which was a lot. Yeah, that was a whole day of like, oh, I am going to get myself some chocolate and I'm gonna go home and watch a really dumb sitcom and I'm just gonna like zone out for a bit. Like, oh no.
Hal and Kieran had a lot to say about their professors, so we dug a little further and asked them what they would say to other students who didn't quite understand the need for a hard and fast policy at a university that already valued inclusion and student safety.
So something I was reading over the policy before I came, and something I think that is key in the way they word it is a reminder that if you don't use a student's pronouns, that's harassment. Like it's, and just like the weight of that, I think, because what I got was a lot of dismissiveness. I think people didn't even realize the impact it was having, because I don't think people's intentions are bad. I think they legitimately are like, I don't understand why this is important. I don't understand what's going on. Why is all this stuff happening? And people are hesitant to call it harassment because it's normalized behavior. It's normalized to call trans people by the wrong pronouns, and that's something we've done forever. And so to call that then harassment is to realize that you're complicit in transphobia. And unless there's policies in place in classrooms and rehearsal rooms, it becomes the work of the marginalized people to make space for themselves. It becomes my work to tell professors I need them to use my pronouns instead of them just knowing they need to do it.
Having a policy in place that actually like gives trans students some power to advocate for themselves and at least try to maintain their own safety it is incredibly enabling to actually come to class and actually, like, be present on campus.
So what would you say to people who oppose this policy and are citing freedom of speech and the First Amendment as their backing for it?
This is not about you, and also this isn't a matter of opinion.
Finally, we asked Hal and Kieran what it would mean for them if this policy was passed.
Yowzers. I mean, that would be incredibly renewing, I guess, especially in this political environment. It's so exhausting to just get up and, like, leave the house. Like, it's so draining because, you know, being in public space is exhausting when you're trans. So knowing that there's actually enough people out there that want to make things even a little bit easier is... I'm gonna cry. Yeah, no, it's very helpful.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to not only share your personal experience, but to kind of give everyone a better understanding of what it's like to be a trans student here at the U.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks so much for coming on, Kieran. Thanks for coming on, Hal. Thanks for giving us your perspective on this. And look forward to putting you in the episode.
Thanks.
Sure. Here's the rest of the U's news.
Black Table Arts' mission is to promote Black joy and community education through their events, such as Black Lines Matter, a writing program for writers of color held every other Saturday.
Starting this week, police at University of Minnesota will carry naloxone in their squad cars. The drug, better known as Narcan, is typically used to reverse opioid overdoses. Instances of opioid overdose have not increased on campus, according to UMPD Chief Matt Clark. The rollout is simply an effort by the UMPD to keep up with the practices of neighboring police departments.
On Wednesday afternoon, the Minneapolis Police Department responded to an explosion that occurred at a metal supply plant in the Marcy Holmes neighborhood. Two people were significantly injured in the explosion, which is now under investigation.
The University of Minnesota's Board of Regents requested $87 million from the Minnesota legislature. Last year, the university asked for $147 million, but only received $54 million. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.